Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Lisa H., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Tennessee, currently in Florida. Today is Wednesday, February the 5th, 2025, and this is the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 76. We're in the fourth paragraph. That begins, probably here are still some misgivings. And we're going to be reading through eight sentences this morning that ends, our real purpose is to fit ourselves to be of maximum service to God and the people about us. Today's readers for the 12 steps, Jen P., the 12 traditions, Barbara P., readers of the text, Judy N. and Susan S. H., our backup is Tamara C. Our newcomer greeter is Karen W., second hour host Christine G., and announcements will be given by Kathy F. Thanks, everybody, for your service this morning. The share IDs for yesterday, Tuesday, February 4th, 2025, for the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, it's 22,134. That's 22134. And for the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 22,135. That's 22135. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Jen P. to please read the 12 steps.
Good morning. This is Jen P. calling from New Jersey and super grateful to read the 12 steps. Step one, we admitted we were powerless over food and our lives had become unmanageable.
Jen, sorry to interrupt.
Yep.
Your real, yes. Yeah, that sounds better. Somehow it was very, I can't even think of the word.
Sorry about that.
Couldn't hear you.
Okay, is that better?
Oh, much better. That's great.
Okay.
Thanks.
You're welcome. Step two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Thank you, Jen P. from New Jersey. And now I will ask Barbara P. to please read the 12 traditions.
Good morning, everybody. Barbara P., compulsive overeater. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, prestige, and property divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me serve.
Thank you, Barbara P. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page 76, beginning with the fourth paragraph that begins, "Probably here are still some misgivings," and we're going to be reading through 8 sentences, ending, "Our real purpose is to fit ourselves to be of maximum service to God and the people about us," and we'll be commenting on those 8 sentences. And I'll now ask Judy N. to please begin reading.
Good morning. I'm Judy N., living in recovery one day at a time in Maryland. Probably there are still some misgivings. As we look over the list of business acquaintances and friends we have hurt, we may feel diffident about going to some of them on a spiritual basis. Let us be reassured. To some people, we need not and probably should not emphasize the spiritual feature on our first approach. We might prejudice them. At the moment, we are trying to put our lives in order, but this is not an end in itself. Our real purpose is to fit ourselves to be of maximum service to God and the people about us. Well, I was ready to go to any lengths to complete my step work for recovery. I wanted change. I wanted to change my behaviors, and I wanted to be rescued. I do remember the first time I went through steps 8 and 9, and I felt like a yearling. I was a baby. I wanted to be rescued. I am the educational variety of spiritual experience, so I was really at that point following the directions of my sponsor, asking for help. I wanted to put my life in order. I wanted to make my life manageable and to be restored to sanity. I wanted to have soundness of mind. The idea of reaching out to the people from my past that I had harmed was very uncomfortable for me. And I sought advice from my sponsor. I felt that emphasizing in God at that point, when I really didn't have my own full conception and connection to my own higher power, it just wasn't going to happen that way. And I wasn't dealing with religious people that I needed to make amends to. So I needed to simply say that if someone asked me, well, why are you calling me? What's this about? I could just simply say that I'm working on a program to improve myself, and I feel that I've harmed you, and offer my apology sincerely or make the retribution needed. I happened to write a letter to each person to organize my thoughts, and I did read these letters to my sponsor for feedback, and proceeded to go to any lengths to find these people. I used the internet, I called other family members, I did whatever I could to try to find those people, honestly. But overall, I knew that my purpose, my real purpose, was to just clear away the wreckage of my past as best as I could in doing step 8 and 9. That was absolutely necessary so that I could feel this relief, and that's exactly what happened. When I contacted the people that I could and made my apologies and amends, there was a relief, a heaviness was lifted, and I just moved forward in learning the steps, ultimately in learning how to live connected and dependent on a power greater than myself. And with that, I pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Judy N., for getting us started this morning. And although we value your experience, we do ask that you limit your shares to every third day so that others might share their experience as well. So if you've shared on any of the vision meetings on Monday or Tuesday this week, we ask you to hold back. And who would like to share this morning?
Kelly G., Florida.
Kelly, I think I heard Rachel K.
Malka S.
Who? S?
Malka.
Malka. I have Kelly G., Rachel K., Malka S. Anybody else? Okay,
Dara
Kelly G.
S.
Joanne B.
Sorry,
Vermont.
Who is that?
Daria.
Okay, I got Joanne.
S.
Daria.
Daria.
Got it. Got it. And Joanne. Okay, perfect. I have Kelly G., Rachel K., Malka F., Daria F., Joanne P. Kelly G., you're up, followed by Rachel K.
Good morning, Kelly G., recovered compulsive overeater in Florida. Thank you so much for calling on me. So I really love this because I wear multiple hats in my life. I wear the sponsor hat. I wear the sponsee hat. I wear my best friends in program hat. I wear my best friends in real life hat. And when I was making amends to certain people that aren't in program, it's so funny. It's not funny, but you know what I mean? It's one of those things where I have to watch how I speak because I can make it seem like this girl is off her rockers. Like, I don't even know what happened. I don't even know what's coming out of her mouth, but like, sure, fine. And so for me, it's like when I made amends to a coworker at work who doesn't know really what the 12 steps are, I didn't have to bring up, you know, I'm walking along a spiritual basis and, I just want to be in alignment with God. I knew with the help of my sponsor how things should be said, because if I wasn't in program and someone's coming up to me talking about God and the spiritual path and I'm working this program, I'd be like, okay, this person is insane. So it really depends on who I was speaking with, but something that didn't change for me was going to any length for my recovery, whatever that took. If it was to share my deepest, darkest secrets, my before and after picture. And you know, like, I would do anything to be free and to be closer to God. And my sole purpose today is to serve God, whatever that means. If I do make amends to someone who I feel like would benefit in this program, I'm fine to say what program I'm working. Like, I do not care. My ego is not involved when it comes to making these amends, sharing my truth, and doing God's work. And it's just funny, too, like, in real life, when I talk with, you know, friends that don't work this program and someone's having a bad day, and I'll be like, oh, I understand you're restless, irritable, and discontent. And, like, people are like, those words don't roll off your tongue. You know what I mean? It's like people can say, yeah, I'm just having the worst day. Like, I'm just so mad at everyone. But it's like my vocabulary, the way I think, is in big book terms, because I'm so deep into this work that it's like, you know, if I do something, let's say, take water bottles, like a case of water that's underneath the grocery cart, and I leave, and it's like, oh my gosh, shoot, I have to go back, I have to make amends. People would be like, amends? Like, what do you mean amends? But it's like, we know what that means, you know, and I know what that means, and I know the necessity to do that in order to feel closer to God. So anyway, that's all I got. Have a great day.
Thank you, Kelly G. And Rachel K., you're up, followed by Malka S.
Hi, this is Rachel K., compulsive overeater, recovered in Indiana. Thank you so much for calling on me. I love that the big book has some sentences that just, there are a few, not even paragraphs, but sentences that just sum up the whole deal. And one of them is in this paragraph, it says, our real purpose, let's see, I don't have my reading glasses on. Our real purpose is to fit ourselves to be of maximum service to God and the people around us. Period. End. Like, that's it. You know, I mean, yes, this has to do with the eighth and ninth step, but that's my whole reason for being here. You know, I have enough angst in my life without the existential kind. So this solves the existential question of why am I here? This is my real purpose. But the other thing, you know, that I really like in this paragraph is, you know, not leading with the chin. I don't have to, and this is just my experience only, and I, you know, it, whatever works for anyone else. But when I go in to make amends, I don't need to, I mean, some people in my life know I'm in program, and some people it's helpful if I share with them, but I don't need to say I'm doing this because I'm in a way, or I'm doing this because I'm in a spiritual program. Like, I'm doing this because this is the right thing to do. If I screw up, it is the right and moral thing to do to apologize, and, you know, to make restitution. Not necessarily, I mean, I'm doing it because I'm working a 12-step program, but it doesn't need to be. It's just, that's the right thing to do. So I go in without, you know, any kind of, well, please like me because I'm working so hard to follow God, or please like me because I'm trying to clean up my life. That's about me. That's about, you know, don't be mad at me. I want you to like me. And my amends have to be clean. That's why it really helps to do this with a sponsor or a spiritual guide. My amends need to be about making restitution and not about making it so you're no longer mad at me. Anyway, thank you so much for letting me share. Everybody have a great day, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Rachel K. And Malka S., you're up, followed by Daria F.
Hi, this is Malka S. I'm calling in from New Jersey this morning. So I guess what stands out for me here in this paragraph, where it says, we may feel diffident about going to some of them on a spiritual basis. To some people, we may not and probably should not emphasize the spiritual future on our first approach. So this really brings me back because there was a point in my life, maybe like 10, 12 years ago, where I was becoming very religious in my religion. I was getting very inspired and getting very, just really wanting to know more about my soul and to know God and to get that like inspiration that I felt maybe was filling a void inside of me. And when I went to kind of like include or involve the relationships, the people in my life that I was the closest to, you know, like my immediate family, they were kind of freaked out, and they were kind of like, they didn't know what was going on with me. And it was like very alarming to them. And I think that there was a certain element to, like, you know, me wanting to become more spiritual, me wanting to become like more religious, and like, and they felt like it was foreign to them. And it really put a big block between me and a lot of the people in my life that I loved, unfortunately. And when I read this, I'm like, yeah, that makes a lot of sense, because my path on becoming more religious was was very much all about me, and it was about me becoming connected to God and me wanting this light, this new way of life, and me wanting this inspiration. And I don't think I had the tools to like be able to bring in those people and that I love. And I'm learning through program, I'm learning through this exact paragraph that, you know, that we are all on our own path, and that my path to spiritual awakening and my path to God involves it's my journey, I guess, the people, you know, that are close to me are having their own journey, and I don't have to like feel like I need to bring them along on mine and anymore. And that's very freeing. You know, it's a very different perspective, this perspective of like, of, yeah, I guess it's more freeing, and with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Malka S. from New Jersey, and Daria F., you're up, followed by Joanne P.
Thank you very much, Lisa. Thank you all for who are doing service. My name is Daria F. I am in Michigan, a compulsive eater for today and one day at a time. I've done the steps many times, and I've actually done the 9-step many times. And for me, it's been always kind of a going deeper into relationships, a going deeper into understanding what harms I have done. This last time, I kept collecting kind of harms that I've done to my husband. In a way, I really manipulated things, and it's still really embarrassing to think about, and humbling to think about how poorly I treated him and my disease. But anyway, I kept collecting those harms and thinking, okay, now I gotta do an amends to him. And I really dragged my feet on that. And I didn't realize how afraid I was. And finally, you know, one day I realized that, you know, my program, you know, wasn't as strong as I wanted it to be. I thought, oh, I haven't finished my amends. And so it was just like that day, okay, I'm just going to do my amends. And like someone had said earlier, you know, I prepared so that I wouldn't be caught up in the moment, that I could say what I needed to say. And we sat down and I shared my amends. I shared sort of what my relationship ideal, you know, my sex ideal is, you know, would be as his wife. And it was just such a blessed moment because it wasn't as scary as I thought it would be. And truly, I felt this sense of relief at the end. and this kind of, you know, new sense, like I've turned the corner. It was an important thing for me to do, to feel like I turned the corner in my recovery. And so it's been a little while now, and I have been feeling, I feel like the fog is lifting. I know we're going to talk about the promises later, but I feel like the fog is lifting, and just it is a new experience now, even being recovered and being abstinent. So anyway, I just wanted to share that for, you know, for those who might be fearful of certain ones. I mean, obviously, I prayed a lot about this, and I really consulted with my sponsor, and I wanted to make sure that I wasn't going into it willy-nilly or impetuously, but I am so glad that I finished that amends, that I can move forward, because that's the only way, I think, for me to stay in recovery, is to always be vigilant. And then I know we'll talk about 10 steps later on as well, but I think, you know, the 10 steps are what really helped me stay clean. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Daria F. And Joanne P., please share with us.
Hi, this is Joanne B., living in recovery in Vermont. Sorry, I can't remember what I wanted to talk about this morning. The thing that stood out for me from this paragraph is fitting myself to be a maximum service to God and those around me. And it just made me think about the whole process of step 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and how it puts a mirror on myself, and how I learned that, you know, the resentments that I held for people had nothing to do with what they did, but everything to do about what I do. And going through that whole process was a revelation to me, because it really made me take a good hard look at myself and realize that, you know, when I'm resentful at somebody, it really has everything to do with me. So when I'm making my amends, it's coming full circle and apologizing and taking, you know, I'm taking responsibility for my behavior. And in doing that, it kind of impresses on me, you know, these behaviors, and going forward, you know, I'm always taking a look at myself, and I'm always watchful for those character defects that got me in trouble before. And, you know, every morning I have to get up and say, okay, God, what will you have me be today? How will you, what will you have me do? And it's really very simple. It's being helpful, loving, patient, kind to everybody I meet, even though I'm not feeling great, even though I haven't had a great night's sleep, even though it's, you know, 6 degrees out here. And just, you know, being the best version of myself that I can be. And this whole process really has done that for me, and I have to continue to kind of look at myself through step 10, 11, and 11 daily to keep that going. So that's all I have to share. Thanks everybody.
Thank you, Joanne B. from Vermont. And before I take another list of names, if you haven't heard, I'm here to tell you that A Vision for You, the convention, is back. And it is an amazing weekend of inspiration, education, motivation, and fellowship. It is taking place November 7th to the 9th, 2025, at the Marriott Newark International Airport in Newark, New Jersey. And the best news is that registration is open at www.avisionforyou.com.
Avision, the number 4, YOU.info. The Power of the Big Book Weekend is an extraordinary opportunity to learn how the 12 steps can set you free from the bondage of compulsive overeating. Please come and join us. Join a vision for you as the Big Book is brought to life through teaching and experience of those in whom the problem has been solved. And if you haven't ever been, it is truly an amazing experience. And again, registration is open on the website. Hope to see y'all there. And we are on page 76 this morning, the fourth paragraph. We're reading through 8 sentences, beginning probably here are still, and end service to God and the people about us. So who else would like to share this morning?
Blanca B.G.
Jennifer
Blanca.
C.
Jennifer?
Pete B.
Pete? I have Blanca B.G., Jennifer C., Pete B. Anybody else? Okay. Blanca B.G., you're up, followed by Jennifer C.
All right. Good morning, everyone, brothers and sisters in programs, moderator. I'll be short this morning. I mean, I'm not going to take up too much time. I had a pretty long list of amends for my husband. I did. And there were many things that I wanted to talk to him about and amends I really wanted to make to him, but just, well, no, not yet. The time's not right. I'm not ready, blah, you know, on and on. And sadly, he passed away before I had a chance to say all of the things that I wanted to say to him and let him know how much he meant to me and I loved him and cherished him and how sorry I was for many things, for things that happened over the years we were together. So all I want to say to everyone listening is don't wait. Don't wait. I know there's a cliche, you know, you've heard tomorrow is promised to no one. But let me tell you, it's true. So if you have those feelings in your heart and your soul, do it. If at all possible, if you're up to it, if you feel you can. And on that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Blanca B.G. And Jennifer C., you're up, followed by Pete B.
Hey, good morning. Jennifer C., recovered in Greenville, South Carolina. So thankful for all of you. So thankful for this book. My real purpose is to fit myself to be of maximum service to God. And then, right, if I could rewrite it, I would put a then. And then the people about us, right? I get ahead of myself. It's my middle name. Jennifer get ahead of herself. And I got to sit for a while in some of this. I really do. And what's interesting is, you know, it does say on our first approach, which would indicate, you know, there's going to be some other approaches. Like, this is not a one and done. This is a lifetime of growing in effectiveness and understanding, you know. And God continuously asks me, Jennifer, how low can you go? How low can you go? Get low, stay low, and how low can you go? Because that's where I'm safe. To be of maximum service to God and the people about me, I have to stay low and I have to be willing to continue to grow as a child of God. Like, I'm a child. So the central fact becomes my relationship with God. And that means I'm allowed to mess up. You know, my knee-jerk reactions, I go through this work one time, maybe 5 times. My knee-jerk reactions have been ingrained in me since I was a little girl, right? So like my spiritual awareness and awakenedness doesn't necessarily translate right away to my emotional capacity, right? So I still might act like a fool in moments when I'm quote unquote triggered, right? I'll tell you all about God, but push my buttons,
and I become a maniac. And that's the working out that has to happen as I commit myself to this process every single day. The good news is that when I get through the work the first time, that's the start, right? I get through the work. Now I'm living in recovery. Now I'm continuing to grow. I'm continuing to watch for. I'm continuing to see my defects that were exposed in my inventory. I'm continuing to admit powerlessness over my defects of character now. And I'm continuing to bring myself to God and say, God, I did it again. Know me. Show me so I can see it. And grow me so I can continue to change. And then the people around me, they want to know. They want to know what I'm doing. What are you doing? You know, it's been almost 5 years for me, and my husband now can actually see the difference in my ability to pause, to not say the thing, you know, like, I think you need to hear this. I think I'm helping you, right? Am I really helping the people about me? Maybe I need to just stay low and listen. So this is all a process. Don't be discouraged if you still feel like a maniac. Like, keep staying low and keep trusting this relationship with God, that you're the child. He's the good, good father who knows how to change us and grow us and show us and continue to know us and make us better. So thank you all. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Jennifer C. from South Carolina. And Pete B., please share with us.
Thanks, moderator. My name is Pete B. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I'm recovered today by God's grace and mercy in Pennsylvania. And you know, these steps 8 and 9, the only other step that I got more wrong than these two in my experience in recovery was the first step in recovery. That's the only one I never really got. Right? You know, because, you know, we have to think about what we're doing here. This, you know, steps 8 and 9, this is not an opportunity to make a proclamation of my spiritual progress, right? To demonstrate to those about me, you know, that I've been a horrible person, and now I'm better because I found a God. This is not what this is. I love what was shared earlier. It's simply a matter of righting the wrongs that we've done in the past. And now, what are the wrongs, right? You know, it tells us in step 4, we listed the people we hurt. And here in steps 8 and 9, we're making a list of the harm we did. And there's a difference between hurt and harm. Hurt is to cause physical or mental damage or injury. Harm is to cause physical or material damage or injury. And see, what I got wrong and what many of us do is that there's no way to repair, because that's what amends means, there's no way to repair a hurt. We don't get to apologize and make everything better, right, in this process, and that's not what we're doing here. We're listing the people we've harmed, and we're becoming willing to fix them. Now, that doesn't mean that as we walk hand in hand in the sunlight of the Spirit with our relationship with God, that we don't have opportunity to reconcile our past by making apologies, right? By repairing relationships. But all that is living consistent with the ideal we created in that 4-step inventory, right? So this process right here, we have to recognize, what can I repair and what can I not repair? And we're making that list. There's plenty of opportunities while we work the rest of the program, while we develop and nurture this relationship with God, that we can go about reconciling our past. But this idea that somehow, some way, I'm supposed to be explaining to people, you know, that I acknowledge that I hurt them and that somehow is going to fix them, in many instances, in my experience, caused additional damage versus repairing anything, right? We put wounds on people. In our behavior, we put wounds on people that may never heal. And if we don't acknowledge that and accept that, we're not accepting and understanding the implications of the condition we have, right? And the condition I'm talking about is the selfishness, the self-centeredness, and the self-seeking. the disregard for other people, the inconsideration we have for other people, that wounds people. And some of those things, they don't ever heal. And it's certainly not going to be healed with, I'm sorry for doing that. And with that, I'll pass.
Time. Oh, thank you. Thanks, Pete B. And we have quite a bit more time. We are sharing on the first 8 sentences on page 76, the 4th paragraph that begins, probably here are still, and ends, to God and the people about us. Who else would like to share this morning?
Lynn S. Lynn A.
Sorry, who is that?
Kim A.
Oh, Kim, thank you. I have Lynn S. and Kim A. Who else would like to share? Okay. Lynn S., you're up, followed by Kim A.
This is embarrassing. I'm going to have to pull out of sharing because I wanted to share on the bottom part of the paragraph, so never mind. Thank you.
Okay. Oh, okay. Thanks, Lynn. Kim A., can you share with us?
Hi. Yeah, thanks. This is Kim A. from New York City. Good morning. So, you know, the whole thing with amends, the way I learned how to make amends was a very specific kind of short, sweet way of acknowledging what I did, acknowledging my defects that caused me to do that behavior, and asking how I can make things right. And that's the difference between an amends and an apology. Because, I mean, we've probably all made 100,000 apologies. I know I have. And they've been like riddled with excuses, right? Oh, I'm sorry I was rude, but, you know, I didn't sleep well and I was having a bad day, blah, blah, blah. Excuses, right? I'm sorry I, you know, stole your lunch or whatever, but I forgot mine at home. And so an amends is, it's not an apology, and it's giving the other person a way to participate by telling us how we can make things right. And, you know, I've learned that I have to be careful with amends because I have to really examine my motives. And that's why, you know, I'm recovered almost 6 years and I still bring my sponsor into my amends process for almost every single one, except for, you know, if I had a momentary, you know, lapse and I was inconsiderate or rude and I have to make an amends, like, you know, on the spot. But I don't always owe amends when I think I do, because, you know, a condition of this illness is we don't always see the truth from the false. So there are times when, you know, I think I owe an amends, but I don't. And there are also times that I want to make amends for the wrong reason, because I don't like if somebody's upset with me, or I'm afraid that, you know, they're going to see me a certain way. That's not what it's about. It's about humbling ourselves, and it's about, like I said, just giving the other person the opportunity to participate in this process. And, you know, I know when I started the steps for the bazillionth time, that whole amends thing was like looming large, you know, and it affected even my step 8, right? We're making this list of people we're going to make amends to. And it was just like so daunting and so like anxiety provoking. And I really had to stick close to my higher power to just help me stay focused. I'm not making amends. I'm just making a list of the people that I've harmed or the places I've harmed. And, you know, the steps are written in order for a reason. We're talking about step 9. So there's 8 whole steps before we get there. So if I'm worried about step 4 or if I'm worried about step 9 when I'm on steps 1 or 2 or 3, I don't have to think about that. I just have to do what's in front of me, and the steps build on each other, right? So by the time I get to each step, either I'm ready and I'm humble, or I can pray for willingness and I don't have to let it hang me up. And I know that my higher power is in charge, so I don't have to worry about outcomes. I don't have to worry about anything. You know, the only caveat for me, and I'll wrap up, is that I can't take a really long time to work the steps because my lying, compulsive eater mind is going to weasel food in there somehow, because that's my ease and comfort. So I need to make sure that I'm getting this done relatively quickly so that I can get relief and live in steps 10 through 12. And I'll pass. This is Kim A. from New York City. Thank you.
Thank you, Kim A. from New York. And it looks like we have time for three more shares. Would anyone like to share on the first eight sentences of the fourth paragraph on page 76?
Margaret D., Georgia.
Okay, Margaret D.
Terry D., Maryland.
Was that Terry?
Sherry, S-H-A-R-I.
Oh, Sherry. Thank you, Sherry D.
Yep.
One more. Okay, we'll go with Margaret D. and Sherry D. and see where we are. Margaret D., please share with us.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Margaret D., Georgia. I want to share my experience about what happened with our purpose is to become of maximum service to God and those about us. I did a four-step around a family member who had done what could have been considered, a crime. And it took me many years. It included therapy and a bunch of stuff, you know, which, well, that's neither here nor there. But to get to the point, when I was able to actually sit down and see what I had done to this individual. And, you know, as Pete was saying earlier, feelings, we can't heal somebody else's feelings. But in looking at that, in looking at what my part in it had been through the years, about how I had reviled this person and, just was such a critic and so demeaning and, you know, never failed to let anybody who would stand still long enough to know exactly what they had done and blah, blah, blah. So I started making the amends, going through the amends process. And what I came to realize that my side in it was to understand two things. What he had done was between him and God, you know, and I was not to be the judge or the jury and the executioner. And my side of it was that I had decided to become the judge, the jury, and the executioner. And I'm going to kind of wrap it up with this. What I'm realizing now, listening to everybody, is that to be of maximum service to God and my fellow human beings or those around us was that as I acknowledged my part in it about the character of assassination and that I was far from being the sister that, you know, an ideal sister, that's what I had done to him over the years. And he, in turn, was able to open up to me, and that was where I was able to be of maximum service, was by me admitting my faults, which had nothing to do with him. He was able to admit his faults, which had nothing to do with me or what had happened, and it brought us both closer to our higher power. Now, you know, he is not in a 12-step program or anything, and who cares? The big thing is he was able to forgive himself, and so therefore more of the sunlight of the Spirit was able he was able to understand and express. And to me, that's the beauty and the magic of the amends process, is that the darkness, when I ask God to remove the darkness in my soul, that darkness doesn't flood over other people, and they can then express the light that's in their soul also. So it is such a win-win situation. I just think the steps are amazing. I think God is amazing. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Margaret D. from Georgia. And Sherry D., please share with us.
Good morning, everyone. Wow. Sherry D., compulsive overeater in Maryland. I am loving the vibe of this meeting. So many things that I heard as reminders for me that are so important. So first of all, I am an egomaniac with an inferiority complex. Absolutely. Either everything is my fault or nothing is my fault. And when I first came into the program and I took that first step and admitted I was powerless and my life was unmanageable, it was because of everybody else. It wasn't my fault. It was everybody else's fault. And my sponsor smiled at me and said, keep coming back. And as I work the steps, which it has been said in this meeting, the steps are in the order that they're in for a reason. If I were to look at step 9 when I was taking step 1, I'd be like, I got nothing to do here. I haven't done anything wrong. It's everybody else's fault. And as I slowly started working through those steps and, you know, slowly started coming to and then coming to believe and listening to the stories and listening to people share their experience, strength, and hope, and the darkness started lifting and I was able to see reality, then as I started working, you know, the third step, the fourth step, the fifth step, the sixth, the seventh, those relationships started becoming in my mind. I could see them. I could understand. I could accept my part. And I love what it was said that, you know, the reason behind this step is not just a box to be checked. I cannot look at it that way for me. I have to take ownership. I have to go back to that first step and say my life is unmanageable and take responsibility for my disease and my actions. And these steps are the ones that actually make me look at my part, what was going on. And I loved that, you know, I can't just go to people and say, oh, yeah, I'm in recovery and I have to do this to remain recovered. That's a cop-out for me. That's a total cop-out. That's not, I don't believe I'm going to get the promises of these steps if I do it that way. I have to name it and claim it before I can set it free. And I took my sponsor into these steps and I took my higher power into these steps. And when I ask God for the words to be said out of love and kindness, they come, not from me, but from my higher power. And I'm so very grateful that I have that relationship today from this program. And with that, I'll pass, but I'm going to keep coming back. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Sherry D. And we have room for one more, maybe 2-minute share. Anybody like that last share of the morning? Barbara G. Please go ahead, Barbara.
Thank you. Thank you for your service and good morning, everyone. Just to make sure I'm on the right paragraph, it's page 76, the last paragraph, starting with probably.
That's
correct?
It's just, yeah, this, those first
good.
8 sentences.
Yeah, perfect. Thank you. Thank you very much. I read them carefully and I read them also 2 days ago with my sponsee. That was fun. I mean, the coincidence. Why did I read it? Why did I have to go back and read it? Because I was asked the question, I mean, actually, no, we were reviewing a possible amend to make together. And there was a long introduction regarding why I'm doing this and all the spiritual impact that this involves in my life, which is very important. I remember me starting from that very first point while introducing an amend when I did them for the first time. But as I learned, as the book says, I could not prejudice the person listening to me by starting talking a lot about me. It would have been like in the paragraph it says that it would be like giving the chin and I don't remember the expression because God and spirituality are sensitive topics, and I would add on
Sorry,
top
that's
of that.
Time, Barbara.
Okay. Oh, thank you. I would just add on top of that that starting from the very first introduction to me, making the amends, it's a good exercise to start getting out of the way. The other person doesn't need to know about me and my motives, but the other person needs to know why I'm there and what I want to do for that person. And I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Barbara G., and thank you to everyone who shared this morning. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. And the share ID for today, Wednesday, February 5th, 2025, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 22,141. That's 22141. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And Susan S.H., will you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only until keep you until then.
Thank you. Thank you. This is Susan S.H. in Ohio. I'm a compulsive overeater recovered for today. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit. And you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep